Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Welcome to Turning Point. If you have a rock-solid faith in Christ, you'll find comfort in the fact that Jesus is pictured as a stone in the book of Daniel. Today, Dr. David Jeremiah considers this fascinating symbolism and explains the meaning of the other images that appear in King Nebuchadnezzar's prophetic dream. Listen now as David introduces today's message, When Christ Rules the World.
Again, I want to thank you for joining us as we continue our study into the book of Daniel. We are today opening up the Bible to the second chapter, and we're going to look at a couple of verses in the middle part of the chapter and then a couple of verses at the end of the chapter that explain the verses in the middle of the chapter. That's all I can tell you. It's a really interesting chapter because, as I mentioned to you before, so much of the Bible is self-interpreting if we just keep reading. Certainly the book of Daniel and especially the book of Revelation is like that. Today we're talking about what happens when Christ rules the world. This is a period of time usually referred to as the kingdom age or the millennium. Well, what would the world be like if there was absolute justice, if there was no fake news, if there wasn't anything that went on that wasn't godly, and if there was even a little uprising, it lasted for only a moment until the ultimate authority took care of it. Well, that's the way the millennium will be. And today we're going to learn about this time when Christ rules the world as we open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2.
The great Napoleon Bonaparte once said, as he was about to die, "I shall soon be in my grave. Such is the fate of great men. So it was with the Caesars and Alexander, and I too will be forgotten. And the conqueror and the emperor will become a college theme. My exploits will be tasks given to pupils by their tutors. I die before my time, and my dead body must return to the earth and become only food for worms. Behold, the end is at hand for him who was called the great Napoleon. What an abyss between my brief misery and the eternal reign of Christ, who is proclaimed, loved, and adored, and whose kingdom will extend to all the earth." End of quote. Now, if Napoleon had only read Daniel 2, he could have saved himself a wasted life and a disappointed death. For Daniel 2 very clearly teaches us that there is one thing that is certain, and that is this, that the kingdoms of this world are passing away, and the kingdom of Christ is the only hope we have of an eternal, universal, successful kingdom. Now, that kingdom which is to be realized in the future, in its physical reality, is already at work in our hearts. Jesus Christ has set up his kingdom within us, but someday what is true in us is going to be true physically, in reality, just as the other kingdoms mentioned in this passage, and he will literally, physically rule the whole world. Now, when that kingdom comes, it's going to be a different story than the story we hear today. Somewhere in my reading, I came across a statement which explains the hostility of the kingdoms of this world toward Christ. I just want you to know that if you think we've got the heel on us, one of these days it's going to change. Quote, "All the world is idolatrous and self-willed. It is sinful, intolerant, defiant of God, blasphemous, and incurably corrupt. This wicked world has always defied God and dishonored Christ and denied his authority, clubbed his Abels and mocked at his Isaacs, sneered and stoned his saints, poked fun at his prophets, flung his holy youth into diverse dens, and beheaded his fiery Baptists. It has slain its saints and killed them with the sword. But thank God that in a day which is soon to dawn, the smiting stone shall descend and smite the world governments and world empires and smash them in pieces and pulverize them to powder and sweep them from the earth so that no place shall be found for them. End of quote. The devil seems to have the upper hand these days, but it's good to know there's another chapter that's going to be written not far in the future. Now, the prophecy that we've been studying is the prophecy of an image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, an image that pictured for him the decay of the world empire, starting with Babylon, the head of gold, and Medo-Persia, the arms and breast of silver, and Greece, the belly and thighs of bronze, and Rome, the legs of iron. All of that's back in the dream. But now we're going to see the end of the dream, and I want you to notice that the outline for this is very simple. Two things, the coming king and the coming kingdom. And two main thoughts, two main pictures that I want you to put in your notes. The coming king, the stone. And the coming kingdom, the mountain. That's all in the text, and we'll get to it in a moment. The coming king, the stone, and the coming kingdom, the mountain. Now let's look first of all at the coming king. As King Nebuchadnezzar looked at the picture in his dream, and he saw this gigantic colossus, he simply saw a still, monstrous, immovable figure. All of a sudden, at the end of his dream, according to the story, the still picture became a moving picture. In verse 34, the scripture says that he saw a stone cut without hands, which smote the image on its feet that were of iron clay and broke them to pieces. According to verse 45, the stone is detached from a mountain and it begins to move toward this image, presumably at a great rate of speed. It strikes the image at the feet and crushes not only the feet, but the entire image, gold, silver, brass, and iron. Now, without a doubt, this is the climax of the vision of Nebuchadnezzar. And unless you think this is some fanciful story that somebody conjured up, I want to remind you that at the end of the interpretation, Daniel says, "And the dream is certain and the interpretation of it sure." Just to remind us that we're not dealing with a fairy tale here, Daniel throws that in for our benefit. This thing may sound crazy, but it's true, and the interpretation of it is certain. Now, with this dream in its climax form, the stone strikes the image, and the image is totally destroyed, and the stone becomes a mountain which grows until it fills the whole earth. Now, that's the picture. Now, the question is, who or what is the stone? What is he talking about? And we need not wonder. For the Word of God clearly identifies the stone as the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Over 14 times in the Scripture, Jesus is referred to as the stone. Now, we can't look at all of them, but let me categorize them for you so you can get them in your notes and go back and look them up later. First of all, he is called the smitten stone. Back in the book of Exodus, you know the story of Moses when he smote the rock. Do you remember that? Exodus chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. And when he smote the rock, water gushed forth. Now, when Paul was talking about that over in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, he interprets that for us in terms of its prophecy. And this is what he said. He said, "They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them," quote, "and that rock was Christ." So the smitten stone of Exodus 17 becomes a picture of the smitten Christ, who when he was smitten upon the cross became the fountainhead of blessing as his blood gushed forth and he became the redeemer of the world. And Paul says, just as Moses smote the rock and water came forth, Jesus Christ is the smitten rock. And isn't it interesting that it is the beast that smote him? It was the Roman Empire, the last of the empires, that smote Jesus Christ. A Roman soldier killed him. And someday, the Christ who was smitten by the beast is going to come back and smite the beast. He is the smitten stone. Notice, secondly, he is the stumbling stone. Oh, how clearly does the prophet Isaiah speak of this in Isaiah 8:14, where we read these words, "And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel for a trap and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Psalm 118 in verse 22 calls Christ the stone which the builders refused, picturing the Jews building their house, but they left out the stone, who is Jesus Christ. Matthew 21 tells us that he is the stone which the builders refused and warns us that whosoever falls on this stone shall be broken. In Romans 9:33, Paul wrote to the Romans in that passage, in that parentheses, there he says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Jesus is not only the smitten stone, but he's the stumbling stone. And the picture there is this, that he came to his own, and they should have embraced Christ. Instead, they stumbled over him, and he became a stumbling block to them, and they ultimately nailed him to the cross. He's a smitten stone and the stumbling stone. Then thirdly, he's a special stone. In every stone building, so I'm told, there is one stone that is crucial. It is the stone upon which the weight of the whole structure rests. It is called sometimes the special stone or the cornerstone. And Jesus is referred to often as the cornerstone or the stone upon which the weight of the house rests. All of our Christian faith is upon Jesus, the foundation stone. Now, if you don't believe me, I want you to listen to these references. Isaiah 28:16. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth on him shall not make haste." Matthew 16:18, when Jesus is speaking to Peter, he says, "Thou art Peter, but upon this rock," referring to himself, "I will build my church." Matthew 21:42, "The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." As Peter stood before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, he said, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Now listen. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And you will find that in 1 Corinthians 3:11, Ephesians 2:19-21, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Over and over again you discover that this one who is the stone is Jesus Christ. He is referred to as that over and over again in the scripture. He is the smitten stone. He is the stumbling stone. He is the special stone of the church. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And now we learn in this passage that he is also the smiting stone. He is the stone that is going to come and destroy the image which represents the world governments of our day. It is Christ who will come upon the Gentile world and destroy it and all of its man-made kingdoms. Now, that's the king, and it's important as we understand this vision to know who the players are. Who is the stone? He's Jesus Christ. And now, let's notice what's going to happen. That's the king, the stone. Let's notice now the coming kingdom. The scripture says, as Nebuchadnezzar saw this dream, he saw the image standing there in all of its glory, representing the accomplishments of humanity. And in his mind's eye, he sees a stone cut without hands from a mountain, starting to descend the mountain, rolling at great speed toward the image. And the scripture says that the stone struck the image on the feet and destroyed the image, and it was blown away like the chaff with the wind. And then, when the stone had blown away the image, the scripture says the stone became a mountain and it filled the whole earth. Now, that was his dream. Now, let's notice, we've seen the coming king, the stone. Let's notice the coming kingdom, the mountain. And I want to give you some characteristics of the kingdom. Now, you see, volumes have been written on the kingdom of Christ. I have 10 different books in my library that are all about the kingdom of Christ. Now, not all of them agree, but they're all about the kingdom. And we can't deal with the kingdom in any kind of meaningful way. So I've decided I'm going to stick with what we've got right in front of us right here. And I want to show you some interesting things about the kingdom from Daniel 2. First of all, I want you to notice that this kingdom, which is going to come in the end times, is a supernatural kingdom. Characteristic number one. It's a supernatural kingdom. The scripture says that this stone, which becomes the mountain, is cut without hands. Twice we read that in those four verses. That means that the kingdom of Christ is not man-made. It's cut how? Without hands. Someone has said, man can make bricks, but only God can make a stone. That's true. This stone is cut without hands. That means that it is not man-made, but it is divinely originated. The image is man's creation. The stone is God's creation. And there are forces in this world which come from above. No human hands fashioned the substance of Christ. This is a beautiful picture of his virgin birth. A stone cut without hands. There was no humanity involved. He was resurrected from the grave of his own power, not with the help of human hands. He is the stone cut without hands. He is the supernatural king, and he is coming one day to set up a supernatural kingdom. It will not be like anything we've read about yet. It'll be altogether different. For the king who is Christ, the Lord of glory, the supernatural one, will be the ruler, and he shall reign. The first characteristic of the coming kingdom is that it is a supernatural kingdom. Secondly, I want you to notice it's a sudden kingdom. I mean, it doesn't happen gradually. It happens overnight. I mean, even closer than that, it just happens. All of these other kingdoms are built upon one another. Medo-Persia comes from Babylon. Greece comes out of Medo-Persia. Rome takes over Greece and amalgamates it. All of these other kingdoms are gradually in the making, but the Bible says that when Christ comes to set up his kingdom, it's going to be a sudden thing. The kingdom of Christ is not like the gradual kingdoms of this world. It is the smiting stone by a sudden blow, not by the gradual process of conversion and assimilation. And not before does the stone become the mountain which fills the whole earth. Christ's kingdom will come with a sudden and decisive blow, and every passage that speaks of the coming of Christ speaks of it like that. Everyone. He's not going to come and sneak up on us, gradually infiltrate us, and then ultimately we're going to say, oh, he's here, and we're going to put him on the throne. One day, just like that, the kingdom of this world will end and Christ will set up his own kingdom. I don't plan to be here. I'm going to be gone. Because 7 years before that, the rapture happens and all God's children are going to be up there. But I'm coming back with him, so I'm going to watch it all. But it's going to happen suddenly, quickly. Now, in the New Testament, we read about that. Matthew 24, 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. How's it going to happen, class? Suddenly. Quickly. Now, I'm not talking about the rapture here. I'm talking about the second advent. I'm talking about when Christ comes in glory and every eye shall see him. No gradual thing there. It's suddenly. All right? It's supernatural. It's sudden. I want you to know, thirdly, the coming of the kingdom of Christ is severe. It's severe. I want you to notice the phrases that describe the coming of the kingdom of Christ in this passage. Verse 34, smote the image. Verse 34, broke it to pieces. Verse 35, broke to pieces together, became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. Verse 44, broke in pieces and consumed all of these other kingdoms. Broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. In the words of Nathaniel West, it's not smooth and gentle, but it's fracturous pulverization, judicial grinding, atomization, and an attending wind of judgment that blows the kingdoms all away till there's no place to find for them, and they're gone. The sweet baby Jesus, men and women, is also the righteous judge. One day, this old world, which has rejected him and made him a laughing stock among the nations, it's going to see him come riding upon a white horse, and he will smite the nations, and it will be severe. Ask of me the nations, and I will give them to thee for thine inheritance. Comes from Psalm 2. And you know what the next verse says? Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. One of these days, the King of Glory is going to come back, and he's going to dash the nations in pieces and break them like a potter's vessel. Psalm 2, verse 9. Psalm 110, verse 5. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. Behold, the day cometh that shall burn like an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Coming of the king, my friends, is severe. When he comes at the second advent to set up his kingdom on this earth, first of all, he's going to purge the earth from all of the kingdoms of this world, and it's going to be a severe coming. Like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, which is thrown up into the wind after it's been flailed, and the wind blows it away. The scripture says that all of the metals of this beast, the gold, the silver, the bronze, and the iron, are like the chaff. And when God comes in his righteous wrath, he's going to throw those metals up into the air when the beast is smitten by the stone, and the wind's going to carry them all away, and you'll never see him again. Severe kingdom. I want you to notice, not only is it supernatural and sudden and severe, but fourthly, it's sovereign. The scripture says he's going to rule over all the earth. The sovereignty of the earth's kingdoms are going to be under the rule of the Lord. We're back at the top of the image now to the head of gold. Jesus is the monarch. And he set up his rule over all the earth. The stone came from the mountain in the first place, and the scripture says when it's done with its work, it's going to be a mountain again. And it's going to create a sovereign rule that'll fill up the whole universe.
This imagery in the Old Testament is so profound. And as we move through the book of Daniel and then on into the New Testament, and we come at last to the book of Revelation, these two books go together. And it's amazing how interlocking these messages are about the future. And we'll continue our discussion of when Christ rules the world when we meet together right here tomorrow on this good station. I'm David Jeremiah. Thanks for listening.
For more information on Dr. Jeremiah's series, The Handwriting on the Wall, please visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio, where we offer two free ways to help you stay connected: our monthly magazine, Turning Points, and our daily email devotional. Sign up today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for a copy of David's companion book for this series on the secrets of the prophecies of Daniel, The Handwriting on the Wall. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard Version and New International Version, as well as in standard or large print in the New King James, all available in your choice of handsome cover options. Go to davidjeremiah.org/radio for all the details. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, The Handwriting on the Wall, here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.